Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Have any of you ever wondered the same question? Or, you know, at least something along those same sort of lines. Who will be in heaven? Is it going to be crowded up there? Is it going to feel empty, maybe? Is there going to be more space? Are there going to be houses that are unoccupied? Well, will those I care about be there? Will I be there? Is it easy to get in? Or is it difficult to get in to heaven? Well, there was a poll just a few years back, and the results revealed that many people in our own country believe in heaven. In fact, somewhere near 70% of people believe that heaven is a real place that we will go to after we die. Consequently, most of those people think they are going there. Not just that heaven is an actual place, but I think it was 98% said that they thought that they would be in heaven. However, the difficulty arises when they asked how you get to heaven. Certainly, some people said that Jesus is the only way, but it wasn't really a majority. Others said you had to be a good person. That's not right. Some believed that it was based on some other God entirely, or that there were multiple different ways that you could achieve an eternal resting place in heaven. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. In many ways, these words are very scary words. Jesus doesn't soften the blow at all. He flat out tells us that not everyone is going to make it into heaven. In fact, he says exactly the opposite, that there will be many people who do not enter. Jesus' truth really doesn't line up with what the survey told us. Jesus' truth doesn't really line up with what most of the world believes. And this is going to be a big problem because it means that many people, when Jesus comes again, will be locked outside. Many people are going to be closed out of heaven. Now, it's important for us to recognize this isn't how Jesus wants it to be. This is not what he's desiring. It's not what he's seeking after. He has offered his salvation to the world full and free, no strings attached. Each person in the world is offered the same atoning forgiveness that Jesus gives through his death and resurrection. It's there for the whole world. Right? God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The issue is that some people don't want the gift. They don't think they need the gift, and therefore they reject the gift. It's much easier to believe in lies than the truth. And we see exactly how these people will be, exactly how they will respond when they get closed out, because Jesus continues. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. The problem is that those on the outside, they're going to begin to try to justify themselves, to plead their case. We ate and drank near you, right? And we saw you. We knew that you were preaching in our streets. But that's not enough. They may have ate and drank in the presence of Jesus, but they didn't eat and drink with Jesus. They may have known that Jesus was preaching in the streets, but it doesn't say that they actually went out to listen to what his message was. These people, they come, but they don't actually believe anything about Jesus. It's like claiming that you know a celebrity because you've read all about them on the internet. Just because you know about someone doesn't mean that you know the person. A loose affiliation might as well not be an affiliation at all. And so those who complain about their lack of entry, if they had been entering with Jesus through the narrow door, if they had literally followed him, they wouldn't have been left outside. But Jesus reveals that if you don't follow, if you don't use Jesus to enter through this narrow door, then your works are evil. It's a scary word. So the Master of Heaven is justified to condemn them all the more, because salvation did come near to these people, and yet they disregarded it. They had every opportunity to enter, and yet they didn't take it. Lord, will those who are saved be few? A better question to ask is, how do I do what Jesus suggests? How do I strive to enter through the narrow door? How do I guarantee that I can be amongst those who are at this feast that Jesus is throwing? What does our text tell us? Look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were counted righteous to be at the feast because of their faith. They believed the promises of God. They believed and they followed them. In a world that is opposed to God, these men trusted. In fact, in a lot of ways, throwing away all that they knew and all that they held dear to listen to God's word and to keep it. Jesus doesn't invite us to know him as a passerby. He invites us to be his disciples. He invites us to enter with him through the narrow door. And if you want to follow him through this narrow door, if you want to be at this heavenly feast that he is preparing, it means that you need repentance and you need faith and you need to live and believe in the promises of Jesus. The narrow door is only open because Jesus has opened it. In fact, he continually holds it open even now. He's still waiting to gather those from north and south and east and west into this kingdom that he has prepared. And he opens it by living a perfect life, dying an innocent death, and shedding his precious blood. He opens it by rising from the tomb 3 days later. The narrow door, you know how narrow it is? Just about as narrow as two pieces of wood that get put together. The narrow door is a cross. It's the cross of Christ. Two slender pieces of wood. And so Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to you. That way you might know what the narrow door looks like. That way you might enter as you believe in the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus has won for you. He grants you to live in baptism. We just confessed it in the catechism. Baptism gives forgiveness of sins. It places the robe of Christ's righteousness over you. It guarantees you a spot in the heavenly kingdom. His very blood covers over you in that moment when the water is placed on your head in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the door is open to you and no one can shut it. The scripture tells us. And it continually tells us that Jesus cares enough to hold the door open. We're about to have the Lord's Supper. This is exactly what Jesus gave and shed on the narrow door. On the cross, he gives and sheds his body and blood for you. He gives it to you as a guarantee that that door is open. If you ever come to a point in your life when you go, Lord, I've forsaken your promises. I haven't studied the word the way I should have. I haven't followed the way I should have followed. Jesus gives you the supper as a guarantee that you are forgiven. A guarantee that that door is still open and he will always hold it open. Jesus wants us to strive after these things. And strive is a word that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. It doesn't say to, you know, well, just kind of ease after the narrow door. Let's laze after the narrow door. He tells us to strive because it's really, really easy to disregard what God gives. It's really easy to think that baptism is no big deal, just something that happened to me once upon a time. It's really easy to disregard the fact that when we come for the Lord's Supper, it just looks like bread and wine. It's really easy to disregard studying God's word. And so Jesus tells us to strive. Strive to enter. Strive to leave behind the wicked works of trusting in our own selves and our own goodness. Leave behind the wicked idea that there are multiple ways to heaven. Leave behind everything except the door. The door and the doorkeeper. Because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. My friends, today the door is open. Through repentance and faith, let us leave behind the false beliefs of the world. Leave behind our works of sin and enter into Jesus' feast, which starts now and has no end. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.